Thank you, praise team. Be sure to thank these people for what they're doing. They are doing an awesome job, aren't they? What I'm going to share this morning may sound a little familiar to some of you. 3 years ago, I presented this devotional at the Concert of Prayer. So if you were there, you may remember some of this, but it's always a good reminder. I'm not one for shedding tears easily, and I often share that with people. It takes a lot to make me cry, and the reason that I give for that is because I felt I've cried out many years ago. My dad died, and then just a year later, my son died, and I feel like I cried for literally about 5 years. It was just this gush of tears lots of times. And I feel like I got cried out. I don't know if that's the real reason or not, but that's what I blame it for. I also know that all those tears that I cried were gathered by Jesus. The Bible tells us that he gathers our tears and keeps them in a box for us. And he saw all of it. He saw all of those tears, and he cared about my tears. So this devotional comes from a book called The God Chasers by Tom Tenney. And when I was reading this book, it's a very powerful book, I would often find my eyes were leaking. I was crying. But it was so unfamiliar that I thought, oh, what's this? My eyes were leaking. So one of the first things that struck me in this book called The God Chasers about Jesus is that we know a whole lot about Jesus, don't we? We learned in Sunday school, we learn in church, we learn in precepts, we learn from our Christian brothers and sisters, but do we really know Jesus? We know about him. Do we really know him? We know about the things that he gives us, certainly, lots of blessings and grace and gifts of the Spirit. And the thing is that we know these things, we hear these things, but do we seek his face? Is that something that we do? Do we seek God's glory? Now, if we're wondering about that, don't feel too bad, because guess who didn't get it? We know who missed it, don't we? The Israelites, God's chosen people, they missed it. In Luke 19, Jesus said, "You didn't know the hour I came to you. You knew the word, but you didn't know me." So he came unto his own received him not. That comes from John 1. He wants us to know him. And it's one thing to know about him. It's quite another to know him. The book, The God Chasers, talks about God's presence everywhere. You know what that word is, right? What's that word? Omnipresent, yes. And that's kind of hard for us to understand, isn't it? God's everywhere. He's in the trees. He's in the skies. He's sitting right here with us today. That's a little hard to understand. One of the things that we aren't familiar with also is his manifest presence. And we often ask for God's presence to come into our church, and that's when we'd really love to see his manifest presence, because that's when he really shows up and we know that he's here, and we also know that he is in charge. He wants to take care of us. We're his children. But most of all, he wants us to seek his face and have that intimate relationship with him, to adore him, to worship him. And this is the kind of adoration that it's hard to describe with words. When this happens, it's like we're almost speechless. David called it his secret place, which is focused on worship. And when we lay aside every distraction and focus our body and soul and mind and spirit on the Lord, and everything else disappears, then we feel that manifest presence of the Lord. Well, this is the case of our biblical hero that we're going to talk about today. This is a sinful woman who broke that alabaster box to anoint the Lord with oil. It's a story that most of us know, but we're going to look at it from a few different perspectives this morning. And if there is a hall of fame in heaven, I kind of think her name is going to be on that list. It's Mary, of course, the woman with the alabaster box. And what's so startling about this story right off the bat is that the disciples were so embarrassed by Mary, what she was doing to Jesus, that they wanted her to get out, to leave. But Jesus made her actions a monument to selfless worship. She worshiped completely in his manifest presence. And you know what the disciples said, why are you wasting this oil? This is expensive. Why are you doing this? And he says, it's not a waste. She is worshiping me. At this particular time, Jesus was probably worship hungry. He was tired of the disciples fighting. And they were always saying, who's going to be on your right? Who's going to be on your left? They're very concerned about their order in heaven. And he had hunger pangs for worship. And this Mary, this box breaker, this foot washer, gave herself to him and filled his worship hunger. She only had that desire for adoration and worship. That's all she had in mind. She wanted Jesus. She was seeking the blesser and not the blessing. This was the woman who marked that road to repentance with her tears, and she dismantled her glory for the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. So we're just going to take a new look at this story of Mary and the alabaster box. So we all know where Jesus was at when this happened. A Pharisee had invited him to dinner, and while Jesus was there, this woman found out that he was there, and she kind of sneaked into the house, and she got to stand by Jesus, or got close to him. And she brought this alabaster box of ointment. Now, I have a sample of an alabaster box. It might have looked something like this. This is white alabaster. It has holes in it. So if she had something in it, then the aroma would be coming out even before she poured the soil. Or oil, not soil. Before she poured the oil. And this is another sample of an alabaster container. It's really beautiful, isn't it? And it was very precious to people. And the oil in it that people kept in it was precious and expensive. So this was a big deal that she was bringing this alabaster box that she owned. And what she did is she knelt down and she began to cry, weeping, tears, huge tears. Can you imagine how many tears she had to cry to create enough water to wash his feet? That's what she did. And then she anointed his feet with oil and kissed his feet. Sarah is going to give me a little help today. She has a little spray, and it's spikenard. Now, this is the oil that the Bible tells us was normal for that time. She's going to just spray a little bit because it's quite strong. It'll kind of waft over to you as she sprays around a little bit. She's not going to spray it on you because it would not be good, but she's going to spray it around. And as it wafts over to you, I'd like you to be thinking about the smell in the room and put yourself right in that room as you smell that oil and Mary washing Jesus' feet. Now, the Pharisees noticed this, of course, and the Pharisee was thinking to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he would know that this woman, Mary, is a sinner. She's a grave sinner. She's a prostitute. And he was only thinking this, but Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so Simon said, please tell me, what? And so Jesus told the parable of a certain creditor who had two debtors. And this is another familiar parable that we know. One owed this this creditor 500 pence, the other owed him 50 pence. And neither of them had any money to pay it. So what happened? He forgave the debt. And he said to Simon, which one of these will love that creditor the most? And Simon's response was, the one with the greater debt. And he was making an analogy to Mary having this great debt. And Jesus said, you're right. That's exactly who it is. So then Jesus looked at Mary. He said to Simon, you see this woman? I entered your home and you didn't wash my feet. She washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't kiss me, but Mary has not ceased kissing my feet since she anointed them with oil. And you didn't anoint me, but Mary anointed my feet with oil. So I'm telling you, Simon, her sins are forgiven because she loved me so much. She is forgiven. And Jesus actually told her that, your sins are forgiven. So you can imagine in the room, just pretend you're kind of in the background watching. What's happening is these Pharisees are starting this little Twitter around here. They're talking to each other. Who is this guy? What makes him think that he can forgive sins? And Jesus said to Mary, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And that's in Luke 7. So here's another interesting piece, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier. The biggest critics of this whole thing weren't the Pharisees. It was the disciples, and they wanted to throw her out, but Jesus intervened, and he told them to just leave her alone. And he actually said that this was the foretelling of the anointing of the body for burial. And Jesus also said that he is never going to forget this woman, this Mary, this box breaker. She would always be on his mind. Isn't that a great thing to say? Do you want Jesus to have you on his mind? I know I certainly do. And do we really want that? Do we seek that? And when we get to know him, that's what happens. We're on his mind. And sometimes this means giving up the things that you treasure the most. Things that have to be broken to release that fragrance that God remembers. Our brokenness is a sweet-smelling savor to God. Our humility is a sweet smell to the Lord. And he does collect our tears. He does collect those tears that flow. The Bible says, as I mentioned, he has a bottle of those memories, and when we get to heaven, we're going to see those tears that he's collected on our behalf. So as you pray today and throughout the week, pull out your alabaster box, whatever that might be, and whatever that oil might be, that brokenness, that humility, that you've been saving for this special time, and break it at his feet and tell him that all you really want is him. And of course, this takes a lot of humility and humbleness. But think about Mary and her time. The Bible said that a woman's hair is her glory. Do you remember I said she dismantled her glory? The Bible calls a woman's hair her glory. So Mary used her glory to wipe Jesus' feet. Now, this whole next part was a very new idea to me. But women in that time wrapped their hair, often in a turban or some type of a veil. And she had a pretty bad reputation already. So you can imagine that she went to this house not only for a reason that of anointing, but she had her hair, head was bare. She had nothing on her hair. She had let her hair down to wipe his feet. Another common thing that was in the Bible is we talk about people walking everywhere. Now, they didn't have the Nike tennis shoes or the hiking boots that we want when we go on these nice long walks. They had sandals. And sandals basically covered the bottom of your feet. There might have been a strap or two or a tie or two on top, but basically they were the covering on the bottom of the feet. And when you went to somebody's house, the first thing you did was remove your sandals. And then one other thing to remember, travelers on these roads walk the same roads as the animals. So you get what's coming next, right? So camels, horses, donkeys, goats, and it was completely impossible to miss getting some of those droppings on your feet. It just happened, and people walked everywhere. So sandals protected the bottom of their feet quite well, but it was pretty hard not to get some of those droppings on your shoes and your feet, and it was unthinkable to wear the shoes into the home. And it was also certain that that residue was on their feet. So one of the things that happened when you entered a home was your feet were washed by a servant. And this servant was the lowliest servant, the designated low servant who could be replaced, reprimanded. He was treated with disdain. That was the lowest thing that you could do, was be the person who washed the feet of their guests at the door. So can you imagine, here's Mary. She comes in this humble worship, and she breaks her alabaster box, and she wipes away the animal waste with her tears and wipes it with her hair. That's an amazing thing. Just picture that. So if you wanted to dishonor a guest or humiliate a guest, the person who entered your home, all you had to do was make sure that you didn't wash their feet. And that was very humiliating. And so this was true, especially in a Pharisee's house, because we know how they felt about cleanliness, right? Everything had to be spotless. In Luke 7:44, Jesus says that no one washed my feet. Simon wanted Jesus there, but he did not want to honor him. Does that ever happen for us? We want Jesus, but do we honor him? Do we seek his face in worship? And when we worship, are we all in? Are we 100% there with Jesus? Mary's heart probably broke when she realized that they hadn't washed Jesus' feet, and he had not been paid any respect. So it seemed like when this happened, it turned up that velocity for her tears, and she just cried and cried and cried enough tears to wash his feet. And she couldn't ask for a towel in this house because she had no authority. So she couldn't even use a towel to dry his feet, and so she dried his feet with her hair. She took, and this is the amazing part, and something that was new to me as I read this, when she cleaned Jesus' feet, she took away the disrespect that was given to Jesus and took it upon herself. And this was a new thought for me. Jesus was disrespected, but she took that away as she washed his feet. She took away that rejection of not having his feet washed as he went into the home. And Jesus openly rebuked his host, Simon. He said, he turned to Mary and then he said to Simon, he said, "You see her? I came into this house. You did not wash my feet. You did not kiss my feet or my face. You did not anoint me with oil. But since she came in here, she has been crying and washing my feet, drying my feet with her hair, and anointing them with oil. So I say to you, Simon, her sins are forgiven." There are a lot. She has a lot of sins. But they are forgiven because she was humble and she loved me so much. Now, the disciples were there, but they missed it. They didn't get it. They were doing the work, but they missed the worship. He doesn't want us always doing. He wants us to seek his face and to worship him. Now, Mary actually anointed Jesus more than once and was intending on doing it a third time, first in the story of Luke 7, the one that we're talking about, and then at the end of his earthly ministry in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. And then Jesus himself said, "She did it for my burial." And this is another amazing thought in this book. So I'd like you to just put yourself at the feet of Jesus as he hangs on the cross. He's between heaven and earth. Everyone has abandoned him. They're throwing dice for his garments. He can smell the blood and the sweat. And he's hearing the jeers of the Pharisees and all those around him. And suddenly, something stronger than all of those things wafts through him as he smells that sweet oil that Mary anointed his feet with. Something stronger. He smells the oil from the alabaster box. And he finishes his task. So, again, Mary wants to anoint the body of Jesus at the tomb. And she finds it empty. We know this story too. And she's weeping and crying because she was wondering where they've taken Jesus. And Jesus heard her, this familiar cry, because he had already risen. And she realized that she had come to do it again. She was going to anoint him. She was going to prepare his body. Her sacrifice of praise. And he said, "Mary, Mary." She failed to recognize that voice at first because he had changed. She looked upon his glory. She was close to him. God always is close to those who dismantle their glory and their ego, and they lay it at his feet with brokenness and humility. The highest level of worship comes from brokenness. And there's no shortcuts. We have to give it all. We have to be all in for that worship. And no one can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And if you just take that little bit of time, that 100% all-in worship, God is going to spend time with you. And we all crave that. Because he is going to do anything to spend time with you. Because he loves you. He loves us that much. Okay. Where are we? Prayers of the people. So you'll see those up here. And so read through those, please. And then we're going to take a few minutes for you to pray for these requests. What, Roger? Oh, sure, of course I can. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Okay, some of you may have read this morning that Bob Egge died. That's in the paper this morning. His service is at the Leonard Funeral Home on Tuesday at 10:30. The second one is Bob and Jenny celebrating their 68th anniversary today. They're not here, but Doug and Karen, you'll tell them, yes? Ramona Hennings has some pain from her hip to her knee. Ben and Glenda Temple's brother-in-law is going to have heart surgery on Tuesday, and also Glenda's uncle is in hospice. Angie Romberg's recovery, praise for that. And Justin, and this is the one that Pauline told us about last week, who is in septic shock, probably has an ulcer from medications. And Jody Vandenberg has a virus, so she's probably not here with us today. So all of these are important to keep in your mind for prayer. And Pauline will copy these, and there will be a copy of them in the walkthrough. So you can pick one of those up and take them home for praying during the week. All right, I think we're ready to sing again.
All right. You guys would stand. We'll sing our last song today.